Listening to Coffee with Kenobi, you are. With Dan Z, the podcast you're looking for. This is... Yes.
Previously on Coffee with Kenobi.
Ian McDiarmid's performance on the way he just, like, with precision delivers every line. Like in the opera scene. You know, did you ever hear the tragedy of Darth Plagueis the Wise? And you can just hear every, like, syllable you, like, choose on it. It's just one of those, it's Shakespearean, and the drama is made so much better by Ian McDiarmid's performance. And
this is Vanessa Marshall, Harrison Dula from Star Wars Rebels, and you're listening to Coffee with Kenobi.
For the first time in forever, I guess that's more of a different Disney merchandising phenomenon, Frozen, but if for the first time in forever, I didn't put something funny at the beginning of the show because I just really liked what Riley and Jeff brought to the table last week when we looked at the top five things we loved about Revenge of the Sith, and we will keep that conversation rolling into The Force Awakens today. Hello and welcome to show number 151 of Coffee with Kenobi, your spoiler-free place for Star Wars discussion, analysis, rhetoric, and the best travel tips this side of the galaxy. I'm your host, Dan Z, drinking One Nation Coffee out of my Explore Hoth mug from Disneyland. Seems appropriate with the weather we're having in Illinois. Coffee with Kenobi is brought to you by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. For all of your travel needs to the Disney theme parks and the cruise lines, as well as anywhere you want to go on vacation, be sure to go to www.mousefantravel.com, the official travel agency of Coffee with Kenobi. On CWK, I invite you to join me as we think about the mythology of Star Wars in a whole new way, and maybe laugh a little bit in the process. You are here with your Star Wars family as we go to our favorite coffee shop and talk some Star Wars. On today's special show, we have the co-founder of Coffee with Kenobi, Corey Club, and your CWK newsman, Tom Gross, with me as we talk about the top five things we love about The Force Awakens, that incredibly impactful film that brought Star Wars back into theaters in 2015 after a 10-year absence from Revenge of the Sith in 2005, and what an explosion of excitement and jubilation that was for fandom, for box offices, for critics everywhere. A fantastic film that we're really going to explore here on today's show. So pull up a chair, grab your favorite coffee mug, and let's have some coffee with Kenobi.
So who talks first? You talk first? I talk first.
Joining us today for a cup of coffee is the co-creator and the original co-host for our little program for 4 years, by the way, Corey Club.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me on.
You are welcome. You have a lifetime pass. Remember, you had that gold membership when you turned in your
key. Oh, is that what it is? I thought that was a man card. That was the wrong card. Oh, yeah, I got to find that then.
Yeah, that comes with age. It's hard to remember everything.
It is. There's so many cards. My gym membership, my man card, my driver's license. There's so many things. All right.
Look at that. See, look at, we haven't missed a beat, everybody. just like the first show. And also joining us is your CWK newsman, Tom Gross.
Hello. It's good to be here. Great to be here with both Dan and Corey. Wow.
Wow. What about that? How about that?
I'm glad I dressed up for the occasion.
I am too. Yeah.
We'll have to figure out a way.
Yeah, it could be. This is usually what our Patreon shows are like, by the way. Everyone's talking.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, it seems like we're doing Patreon right now. If folks are listening right now, go contribute $1 and you will get the fine time of your life, the Patreon show of us waxing poetically about nonsense that might be Star Wars related, but who knows? Anything's possible there.
Anything's possible. Everything you said, every word of that was true, except for the dollar. It's actually
$5. $5, my bad. Yeah, $5.
That's okay. It's well worth that extra $4, I got to tell you.
There you go.
And I wax and you guys poetic.
Wait. Is it like a wax on, wax off?
Kind of, yeah.
Not the same thing? Okay.
Yeah.
No.
Is it? Wow, did you hear that noise? We just lost 1,000 subscribers. That was amazing.
Is that what it was?
Yeah. All right, so now that you're all back, we are at a very special segment in the program. We've been doing our top five things we love about these different films in chronological order, and now we are at The Force Awakens. Now, at the beginning of the show, I talked about what this film means to me and how special it is to Star Wars fans, and it's going to be fun. So I had to bring in the A-team for this because I know for a fact that both of these guys absolutely love The Force Awakens. So, Corey,
we will throw the baton to you again in no particular order, 1 through 5, doesn't really matter. What's the first one you have for your top 5 things you love about The Force Awakens?
You know, there's so many things about this film I love. And it just harkens back to meeting these characters again in this new film. And it really just deeply resonates with me as a fan and as a podcaster, really. This film, and yeah, I'm not, I guess I have no order here, right? So this film to me was the first Coffee with Kenobi film that was released. And it's kind of, that's kind of an odd memory, I guess. But that experience for me was so incredibly fun that we were able to kind of hype everything up on the show. We got like a little like small booth in the movie theater the night of, you know, early tickets, the whole thing. We had the Force Friday thing go on. Like the whole thing leading up to the film itself was incredible. And then of course, just getting to experience it in the theater next to Dan, it was just one of those things that like, this is the type of experience that I'm never going to have again. You know, yes, there'll be more films and whatnot, but this is the first that we have as the team, the Coffee with Kenobi team and kind of coming into that. That's a memory for me, I think, is so huge for this film. And that's how I'm going to kick it off, I guess, for my first thing.
I love that. And you will see why very soon. Tom, what is your first one?
I you know what? I'm going to build right off of that because I was going to start this all off on my side with the experience. The experience of The Force Awakens, the build-up, new characters, all of that. But to me, the biggest – oh, and with Coffee with Kenobi, remember I missed that night because my children had a Christmas program. Do you remember that? And so I could not join you guys for opening night for The Force Awakens. So that – but that actually built up the experience even more for me because this was the first – Star Wars movie that I got to experience right there for the both of us the first time with my oldest daughter. And I'll never forget, we went on a Sunday morning. It was the first show of that weekend on Sunday morning, and we went together, and I could not believe the theater was jam-packed. We sat all the way up against the back row, and it filled in, and it was so much fun to sit there with my own child and experience the excitement of Star Wars with her as if it were my own first experience with Star Wars. And that just, that memory will never escape my mind to the day I die of how exciting that whole thing was and getting to experience action figures with her for the first time. And the buildup and the ads and the trailers and just everything clear up to that first experience. And just, I would never admit this to anybody else than the Coffee with Kenobi family. But when a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away came up on the screen, I just tears. I just had tears in my eyes.
Oh, yeah. It'd be over right there.
Holding my daughter's hands. And then when that blast of the fanfare came on before the scrolling, oh man, it was great. So Corey, I'm with you. The experience to me is tops when it comes to 5 memorable moments of this film.
It's almost like we compiled our list in the same room because my first one is the nostalgia factor, the build up to the film, and then the experience of the first showing. This was such a big deal because, you know, even though we had the prequels in 99, 2002, and 2005, which I loved, which were great, I still didn't have my Luke Skywalker closure. I didn't get to see more of Han Solo, didn't get to see more of Princess Leia. I had to wait since 1983. From 1983 to 2015 is a long time to wait. So driving to that theater, well, first of all, like you said, Corey, starting the show and building up to the hype of The Force Awakens was magical. And I'm pretty sure that added so much to our experience of getting ready for that movie and just experiencing that movie because we started the show and we wanted to give people a voice. We wanted to have a voice in the community. And The Force Awakens kind of helped bring that out. You mentioned having that little table at the movie theater. It was the first of many. And getting excited, interviewing people. The 501st was there. I believe I did a little clip for the news. Remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. And that was just really fun. And just reliving that and then seeing the stills of Harrison Ford and then knowing that he was going to be a big factor in the movie. And then when the lights went out and everyone cheered and it said Luke, and it mentioned Luke Skywalker has vanished, I remember looking at you and putting my hands on my cheeks and putting my head like in between my knees, like I was going down on an airplane or something. I was so like overwhelmed with joy. I just couldn't believe what I was seeing. That was just an amazing experience. I mean, you guys both said it beautifully. And Tom, I do remember that we missed out on the pleasure of your company for that one because of the Christmas program. I totally remember that.
The funny thing is I couldn't tell you a thing about the Christmas program, but I can tell you everything about the Star Wars experience.
Well, there's my clip for the next show. Thank you.
That's perfect. Funny.
Well, hey, Corey, what is your, that's what's your second one?
My second one, and again, it kind of leads up to the trailers of the film. We got a sneak peek of Han Solo uttering the phrase, "We're home, Chewie, we're home." And it's seeing Han Solo on the screen again was such a big thrill for longtime fans, I think. And Harrison Ford, obviously coming back and playing the role, it was just like, it was magic on screen. Some of those moments, you they capture that, and you just like, your heart is thudding in your chest. You're like going, this is unreal almost. And it sounds silly to say that about a character on screen, but this, for me, Han Solo is such a huge character in general. He breaks the mold. He sets the new mold in the sense of characters to come back from 1977 and trying to be Han Solo. You know, it's always that thing. And here he is again, obviously a little older, a little wise in his ways, but still cracking jokes. And you know, Harrison Ford obviously brings him to life beautifully and does such a great job of, you know, being disgruntled and just kind of grumpy and doing his thing. He doesn't skip beat. It's like no time has passed at all other than just aging and whatnot. But it's cool to see his character come around in this film too and kind of understand, like, you know, all those things you heard are true. Like, just hearing those words from Han Solo is like confirms so much in the Star Wars fandom, I think. And just like, it's so cool to see, obviously, like you said, those actors come back and play those roles. But for me, this one's Han Solo all the way.
I'm going to talk more about Han Solo a little bit later, but seriously, folks, we did not sit down in the same room because my second one goes right along with that, kind of, in a way, because it deals with let me just say, the line is, "The garbage will do." That moment when the realization it did not dawn on me that the Millennium Falcon was going to appear in that scene until she says, "The garbage will do," after the quad jumper's blown up. I'll never forget squeezing my daughter's hand and being like, "Oh, the Falcon. And sure enough, there it was. It was so great to see the Falcon back in action in that scene when they're on Jakku at the Nima outpost. And the life that J.J. Abrams brought back to the Falcon, the scenes, I just thought, especially in rewatching this movie just recently, really was watching for that because I knew that I wanted to talk about the Millennium Falcon tonight. And so I really paid attention to a lot of those scenes. And that opening with the TIE fighter chase on Jakku was just beautiful. Between the zoom shots and I guess what I would call a third-person action flight where they're in front of the Falcon and it's going up and down and popping out of the sand dunes and the wreckage. And then even some of the, what I would call the Lucas flashbacks to the TIE fighter pilots from the position down by their, I don't know, joystick or whatever it is that they're flying with. It just was beautiful. And I remember being, you know, we were teased with the trailers that, you know, how awesome it was going to be to see the Falcon again. Yeah. But the trailers, as excited I was about that, did not do the justice of seeing the Falcon on the big screen one more time and just in its glory. And then in rewatching it, I just wanted to mention also that it didn't dawn on me through the last several years until just this time in preparing for tonight, how much the Falcon is still a droid unfriendly ship. You know, BB-8 has problems navigating the floors of the Falcon, just like R2 and 3PO did. But BB-8 does. Say again?
I said, don't do it, Corey.
I'm going to do it.
Don't do it.
Well, but BB-8 shoots those cords out and manages the hallway on in his own way. But just so much fun. And it was just my second moment is just that the garbage will do. And it does. It does. It does do it.
I can already tell. And everybody's gone through two. I'm about to give my second one. We already have more in common than I think we've had as a trio in any of the shows we've gone over these movies, because there's certain things that really resonate. My second one is Harrison Ford. It's the quips, it's the timing, it's his acting, it's the pathos that he exhibits. It's like that man did not miss a beat. Mm-hmm. He was, you know, everyone knows that he had a sort of a different take on his character over the years. And then he came back into the fold, and I'm sure the money truck that they backed up into his house didn't hurt. And hey, who could blame him? He's a professional. But he also has reverence for George Lucas and respect for the material that the Kasdans created, JJ and Lawrence Kasdan for this one. And it was just a thing of beauty. Seeing him on screen is magnificent. And he's one of the reasons I think this is almost a perfect Star Wars film. The way he interacts with Chewbacca, a lot of his one-liners, oh, you're cold? You know, when they're outside the Starkiller base and... It's just wonderful. Everything about that even looks amazing too. I mean, I'm such a huge Harrison Ford fan. He's my favorite actor of all time. And this was just a wonderful addition.
And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I just wanted to add it was one of my honorable mentions, but it seems so perfect here where you're talking about Harrison Ford. And that is, does he not pull off that original, that when they walk onto the Falcon for the very first time and he and Chewbacca take that initial glance at the Falcon and say, Chewie, we're home. I mean, pulls it off so well. It could have been Indiana Jones. It could have been Han Solo. It could have been, I mean, he just has that presence that when he came onto screen that very first time, it was so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And you so eloquently said it. He just respects the role and he respects the history and the lore of Star Wars that it just all came out right there for me.
Yeah. Like you said, Dan, backing the truck up, money truck up to Harrison Ford's house. I think that's true in some sense, but also I think he has enough pathos to understand the character the most, and obviously do the due diligence for the fans, and coming back to play that role once more, and making sure that, I mean, he kind of went out with a bang in a sense of in his own terms, and I think Harrison is a classy guy. I think he's meant to be that character, and not only did he bring back Harrison Ford, but he also brought back Star Wars with him.
Ooh, I like that. That's good. An excellent place to end this first segment. Let's go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we'll give our next two things we love about The Force Awakens. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
This is Coffee with Kenobi.
While it's tangentially related to Star Wars, we lost Stan Lee earlier this week. And Corey Club, Tom Gross, and myself on the latest CWK Proer did a tribute to this amazing man who was such an impact on popular culture in our lives. Before I talk a little bit more about that, I'd like to thank our CWK Patreon contributors who have done so much to help improve the quality of this show and what we were able to do. And I want to thank Ben Elkington, Rebecca Raven, Dennis Keithley, Terry Lee, Melinda Wolf, Wayne Booker, Aaron Harris, Chris Kavarka, Angela Sauce, Mediocre Jedi, Tim Bungaroth, Chris Metz, LJ Souter, Thea Selby, Jeff Ellis, Daz Davies, Christian Dale, Jason Hall, Brian McKinney, Connie Shee, Mike Audette, Jerry Cantor, BJ Smith, Eric Struthers, Nick Dico, and Mark Souter. Our CWK Patreon contributors do so much for our show with their wonderful, generous donations, and we try to give back and make it as worthwhile as possible because you help us, we want to help you. And one way that we do that through CWK is you have access to CWK Pour Over for $5 or more a month. As I said a few minutes ago, this week we gave a tribute to Stan the Man Lee, and I will play a clip of that for you right now.
And I have to say that my story with Stan Lee doesn't go back to my childhood. I didn't really read comics as a little kid. And I was introduced to comics. I was introduced to comics as a kid, but it was my across the street neighbor who read X-Men. And I looked at a few of those, but comics didn't really hit me until my college years. And that's when I got into Spider-Man, as we talked in a show before. You know, I started following Spider-Man because I loved how it's more bang for my buck in buying a Spider-Man comic, because so many times you team up with other heroes, or the variety of villains that Spider-Man had just brought me in. But I will say this about Stan Lee and his impact on me is I read the Stan's soapbox back on the letters page somewhere back of the, and I loved his bits of wisdom, and but what I loved most about it was how he spoke to me in his literature, and in particular the soapbox, because he spoke to me as a person. He didn't worry about the literature of it, and he didn't worry about necessarily how well written it was, although he was very eloquent in his words, but he used language that was for me. For example, true believers. You know, how many times did he start something off by saying true believers? And I was like, yeah, that's me. I am a true believer. I love Spider-Man, and I love the stories, and I love all of the lines and everything in it. And so, yeah, I am a true believer. And so he brought me into his fold by calling me that. And then, of course, his Excelsior at the end of everything. And I was just looking back at the book by Les Daniels, the 50th anniversary.
And that was just the start of Tom's really lovely tribute. And then Corey had something wonderful to say as well. And then I put in my two cents. It was really moving and hearing these guys talk about Stan Lee. And I'm quite certain that a lot of you have very similar stories too. So we'd love for you to listen. Again, it's for $5 more a month. And after this week's Stan Lee show, we have 30 shows in the can. You have plenty of access to choose from. It comes out every Sunday. They're only a half hour long, and they are a great pick-me-up and a good way to start your week. So if you'd like to listen to that, go to patreon.com/coffeewithkenobi or check out the link on our webpage. On the very top right, there's a little red box there that you will see that says Patreon. And you can also get T-shirts, coffee mugs, phone cases, and so much more. If you have any questions, be sure to reach out and let me know. Otherwise, we will see you on our CWK Patreon page. Thank you so much. We're back, and we are on our third ones. Corey, what is the third one you have?
Yeah, this film is so cool. We talked about Harrison Ford earlier, but yet we get introduced to brand new characters. And I think that's what's fun about this, is being able to, you know, discover new folks around the galaxy, characters we've never met before. And one of them for me was Finn. He's got a troubled past as a stormtrooper. Understands that he doesn't want to do what he's doing, and kind of goes on his own journey and discovering kind of who he is, and has to kind of flesh that out and discover that. And his journey alone is so huge, I think, to that film, because the whole time, everything he does, his actions are in pure of heart, I think, in the sense of, like, he obviously doesn't want to take the shot when that first scene comes around, when they're executing the villagers. And then he meets Poe Dameron, obviously, and helps him escape. And in doing so, he gets a new name and kind of a new identity. And just, it's so cool to see this character come to life on screen and kind of get to know him and feel him, his pain, but also kind of discover along with him who he is and what he's meant to do in the galaxy. I think John Boyega did an excellent job of acting here. I think they picked for this character, and it was something fresh, something new, and something you could kind of get behind as a character, I think, because it's almost like you kind of dropped a regular person into Star Wars. And I think that's why he kind of shines through as this hope, this heart of the fandom of Star Wars, in a sense of just, you know, enjoying it. He's laughing, he's getting excited, he's kind of pumping his fist, you know. And it's so exciting for me as a fan to sit and watch him on screen and kind of enjoy that. You know, he gets mad and angry when the times get angry and mad and frustrated, and understanding that, and you kind of grow with him as he goes along the way here in this film. But for me, Finn did a great job of coming to fruition in this film.
I love that. And the everyman aspect, that motif is something that's been important in a lot of Star Wars films. So that's a great call. Tom, what's your next one?
Yeah, I'm just going to build off of that real quick, and then I'll go to mine. And one thing I really liked about Finn, one of my favorite scenes with Finn is when they're in where Han takes them, the gal with the goggles.
Maz Kanata's
that
castle?
That scene with Maz Kanata, and she's talking, she crawls across the table and looks into his eyes, and he's like, you don't know. You don't know what I've been, you know, because he holds the secret of being a stormtrooper and having this identityless upbringing. And I feel like he really put her in her place. And that's such a powerful scene for me. And I felt so uncomfortable when that whole thing happened. So I thought that, you know, when I think about Finn's character, that just brings the reality of his character to light for me. My second, or I guess third item is going along the same theme as Corey, is new characters, was the introduction of Kylo Ren in the opening when his ship, first of all, that menacing ship with the growling motor when it lands after they're invading that town that Lorsan Tech is in, you know, and he walks down that ramp in such a different way than what we're used to with Vader. You know, he's younger, he's more, you know, he has a different gait to him, but it's aggressive and it's menacing. And you know, Lorsan Tekka gives us this little hint of his background that we know he's not from the dark side and that he has a notable family, you know? And so we're like, who is this guy? And then his brutality and the brutality of the First Order in that opening scene just really sets this menacing sense and just makes Kylo Ren seem so dangerous. I mean, especially when he takes his lightsaber and strikes down Lorsan Tekka. Like, I was not expecting that whatsoever in that opening scene. And I just thought that they brought that, they make him seem so scary in that opening scene. And I just loved that introduction. And it becomes my third favorite moment of The Force Awakens.
That's a cool one. Yeah, very well said. It's like you've done podcasts before.
A few times.
My third one is one that may sound familiar to the both of you. It's the scene where the Falcon is revealed for the first time.
Yeah.
You mentioned that before. That, in fact, that might be my favorite scene in the entire movie. And it's just quick. It's the hero's theme returns, the camera pans back and shifts over, and they're running towards it, and the Falcon's back in the thick of it again. Like Maz says later to Han Solo, which is kind of ironic. And you just know you're home. You're really home when you see this thing, because you know that Han Solo is going to show up at some point, and just gets more real. That's like, this is sort of like a reverse passing of the torch, but they're running to the torch. And I just think it's a beautiful, exciting That's scene. Cool. And we know we're brought back into it, and it's great.
It's like the Millennium Falcon's a character or something.
Yeah.
I know, cool. Right? Isn't that funny?
It is funny.
Hey, did your audience cheer when the Falcon was first shown?
Oh, hardcore.
Yeah, it was definite.
I couldn't believe on a Sunday morning, everybody cheered when the Falcon showed up. Like a character showing up from a long lost past. It was just amazing.
Or like when you see the Batmobile or a new toaster. Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. No, or, you know, Knight Rider. Or,
which is, you know, not, you know, that's more of a because of talking. Yeah. Let's not do it.
Yeah. All right. We won.
I love it. Right. I love it.
All right, let's get to our fourth ones then. Corey, you're up.
Number four for me is that scene where Rey and Finn are taking on Kylo Ren in the snow forest of Starkiller Base. And there's a scene where Kylo Ren has kind of had his moment, and he's reaching out for the lightsaber, Luke Skywalker's lightsaber, and it flies through the air, and we see Rey catch it, and it's like, whoa! It is like chilling. Your goose flesh is popping up, and it's like, okay, this is gonna be awesome, you know. And it is that moment, like right there. It's like, okay, this is not just some girl from some planet that, you know, she means more to this legacy than we kind of are led on to believe, and she's going to, it might have more of an impact, I think, for a long time coming. And it's right there that I was like, this is really cool. It's really stamp of approval, these characters on this franchise, really. I mean, like, it's a moment that really cements it for her character, for her strength, and just seeing her growth up to this point, you know, kind of having nowhere to go but here, and kind of ends up in this situation and kind of realizes some things that she's got this power, and there's so much going on, and it kind of all comes to this moment for her. And then she sorts of, you know, starts wielding the lightsaber and just kind of going kind of crazy with it. And we see that she is, you know, good enough to, you know, go up against another trained lightsaber bearer. And it's just a cool scene, I think, in general for this character. Cause again, we just met her in a sense for this film. And in the film itself, it's just like, Star Wars is all about lightsaber battles. And I think in some point there's always one in each film that has a moment. And this is it for this one, when Rey is able to do this awesome feat. And it's kind of a trick of the camera too, right? You're expecting Kylo Ren kind of just to grab it and use his power and just, like, you know, walk away, like no big deal. But no, it's like a trick of like we talked about the Millennium Falcon, you know, hunk of garbage or whatever, and it's panned over for something kind of a twist, and it's like, whoa, that's awesome. So very cool scene, one of my favorites.
I like that one too. And it raises a question to me, and I've been hesitant to even bring anything up about it, but I'll wait. It comes up in one of my other conversations, so I'll bring it up then.
Cool.
And yeah, I had a student who compared that to King Arthur taking Excalibur out of the stone.
Ooh, yeah, I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, that was beautiful. Very good. Tom, what's your next one?
I guess it's my chance, my turn. Ooh. So I'll bring that up now, because my next moment is the chest. When Rey hears the crying in Maz's castle, and she's led to the basement. I also I thought it was interesting, and maybe there's nothing to this, but I think it's interesting that, you know, this friendship that she's created with Finn and this connection she's created with him. And when he reveals that he was a stormtrooper and he decides that he's leaving, she hears the cries, which are cries of maybe the last time she was left by someone that she had feelings for. Hmm. I don't know. I don't know if there's a connection there or not, but that's not what I want to talk about regarding the chest, but just tossing that out there in case anyone wants to jump on that, that boat. I felt like when she went down to the basement of the castle with BB-8 behind her, kind of comically bumping his way down the steps, I felt like it was a cave journey. I know it wasn't, but I had that feeling that this was a cave journey. And then when she opens up the chest and, you know, all of us just had that moment when there's Luke's lightsaber. And I don't know, I had the rush of, when's the last time I saw this? What's the significance of it being here? All those things rushing through my mind. Then she touches it and she's blown back through all of those flashbacks with an unclear future. Yoda's voice in the background, Ren and the knights and the future of this snowy battle, all of that stuff. Just, it was so overwhelming for me sitting there in the theater that I had no idea what this all meant. And again, takes me back to all of those cave experiences that we've had through the films and through the shows. And so the question that comes to mind, and this is what I was going to ask when you were talking about the lightsaber flying by Kylo Ren's hand right into Rey's hand. Maz says to her, "The lightsaber called to you." And it just brings out this idea of, do these kyber crystals, we know that they have a connection to the Jedi, but do they have a connection to certain Jedi? And so does this kyber crystal and this lightsaber have a connection to Rey in some fashion beyond just, oh, she hears this connect, you know, she hears this it's drawn down there. But then later in the film, does it choose her, or did she call it to her in the forest when Kylo Ren is pressing for it? And I don't know. But that chess scene just is so climactic for me because it's her calling, and it's that cave moment, and it just, oh, it's so touching, especially when I rewatched it again, and I just loved every moment of that.
My fourth one is Rey's vision and her emergence as a hero. She has a unique hero's journey that doesn't quite follow the formula, but it creates its own formula. There's a hero's journey from the female perspective, and Rey it encapsulates that pretty well in this section. But I think she kind of breaks the mold, as we talked about with Harrison Ford earlier, and starts a new idea of what it means to be a hero. And I think it's great. I love that she is vulnerable. I love that she's afraid. I love that she's curious. And I love that she's more powerful than she can possibly imagine. I think that's just a wonderful metaphor for Star Wars. And then that moment when she uses a Jedi mind trick to get out of her restraints when she has no formal training, to me, it just showed it's just so ingrained in her. It just is constantly bubbling to the surface of her psyche. And I just think it's a wonderful, wonderful scene where you know that Rey is going to be someone that you need to watch, and she's going to be more than a match for the First Order. So very good. Well, we will take another break. When we come back, we will pause on our list of the top five things we love about The Force Awakens, and Tom will share the latest Star Wars news, and there's definitely plenty to discuss. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
This is Vanessa Marshall, and you're listening to Coffee with Kenobi.
Okay, I am extra excited today for the Harry's Read because we've got a holiday read, and that's great because this is a holiday thought starter for you. Ladies, guys can be hard to shop for, but Harry's is the perfect gift. And gentlemen, if you're wanting something for that stocking, Harry's is the way to go. I mean, think about it. Finding the right holiday gift can be almost impossible. Finding something that's both thoughtful, special, and practical. We like things, all of those things. We want it to be thoughtful in our family, but we want it to be practical. We want to have use for it and not just keeping space and dust. And that's what helps. And besides, we don't really need another wallet or more socks this year, do we? Harry's is the perfect gift. It makes long-lasting quality products at a super reasonable price. Besides, they have a 4.5 out of 5-star rating on Trustpilot, and they have German engineers that have blades made for as low as $2 each. It's a practical gift that we will use, and you can save money on blade refills for that man in your life. Harry's has a limited edition set and a special offer, so check this out. As a special offer for fans of the show, we've partnered with Harry's to give you a $5 off any shave set, including our limited edition holiday sets, when you go to harrys.com/CWKFamily. Plus, you'll get free shipping. This offer is for new and returning customers. Let me share that with you again. This is for new and returning customers and is only available for the holidays. Each Harry's shaving set comes with an ergonomic weighted handle. You can engrave, by the way, which is new and I think is really, really cool. You have German-engineered 5-blade cartridges that provide a close, comfortable shave, foaming shave gel for a rich lather, a travel cover to protect your blades, and a handsome holiday gift box. Or you just want something for yourself? Redeem a Harry's trial offer to experience the quality of shave before committing. Get your holiday shopping done early. Free shipping ends on December 12th, so act now. Go to harrys.com/CWKFamily to get a $5 off a shave set while supplies last. That's harrys.com/CWKFamily.
We are back, and we are in the news segment of the program. We've got some fun stuff to talk about today, I would say. Tom, what do you have for us?
Oh, indeed. Well, Variety.com released this week that Pedro Pascal will hold a lead role in the recently announced live-action TV show The Mandalorian. Pascal, who played Oberyn Martell in the fourth season of The Game of Thrones. Now, according to insiders, Pascal was among many being considered for the role in Mandalorian, but he has now been offered a role and negotiations are underway. The Mandalorian, of course, is written and produced by Jon Favreau. And the first episode will be directed by Dave Filoni, the genius behind Star Wars The Clone Wars and Star Wars Rebels. The Mandalorian is expected to premiere on the Disney streaming service Disney Plus.
I'm excited for it. I don't know who this guy is.
You know what? I don't either, because I don't watch The Game of Thrones.
Okay.
And the reports that I saw do not give any attribution to what role he will be playing, mm-hmm. But definitely, you know, it's moving along. We've got a name, and we'll see where that takes us next.
I think what's interesting about that too, Tom, is that, I mean, yeah, it sounds like he's got some bit roles here and there, but bringing new actors that we are kind of fresh to us into the Star Wars universe, I think is always exciting to me, because there's no preconceived notions going in, like, oh, this guy played so-and-so and that's kind of what he's known for, and here he is in Star Wars. And that can be okay, I think, in some respects, but this guy, like I said, to me is an unknown actor coming into the franchise, and I'm excited to see what it can do. I'm up for it. I'm always excited, I think, because I think the project itself is really interesting to me as a TV series, and something we haven't like experienced before. So I'm all for it.
It's a great point about bringing in new people into the Star Wars fold. It
fresh faces.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's fair to say, based on the Variety report, that he is the lead. I think that's what they...
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and I'm also pretty sure that this broke a little earlier than people wanted it to.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, speaking of live-action series, Dan, last week you brought us the news that Bob Iger announced the Cassian Andor series that will take place during the formative years of the Rebellion and prior to the time of Rogue One. Now, Diego Luna will reprise the role of Cassian. How about that news?
I think this news is awesome. I gushed about it at the beginning of the last show. It was one of those things, well, Corey, you remember this, where you have to suddenly put something at the beginning of the show because it breaks and you can't mm-hmm. not have it in the weekly show. And I think it's tremendous. I mean, we knew there was going to be multiple live action stuff. So this is great. I love that character. I love the actor, and I love that world, because it means we're going to get to see some stormtroopers, and there's always the possibility of a Darth Vader or a Han Solo or who knows what. And this is just me getting excited and spitballing, but I think this is tremendous.
You know, I will say I'm a little disappointed. Not that I don't love the Cassian Andor and his character in Rogue. I mean, I absolutely love his character in Rogue One, but I feel like it was such a great bookends for him. Kind of going in reverse and seeing how kind of he led up to that time, I guess. Assuming that's what right. we'll explore here. It's interesting, but to me, it's like, you know, I guess I could go for something else. I feel like we know the ending. We're just getting to see the middle, and like it doesn't seem as exciting to me.
But isn't that just like the prequels?
That's why the prequels aren't that exciting to me. I mean, I don't know. It's a little odd to go tell one story and back up and go tell another story.
That's what Star Wars has always done.
Yes, but I think it's not that good of an idea. I mean, now I'm not saying they can't pull it off. I'm not saying they can't make it happen and make it good. I have faith that they can do that. I think I would have gone a different direction or picked a different character to focus on in the series or the franchise and gone a different route. But I mean, I'm not in charge. I have all my faith in Disney and Lucasfilm, obviously, to do a good job, and Diego Luna to do a fantastic job of acting. The one glimmer of hope for me, and like I said, this is just hope beyond hope for me, that it would connect to the Solo film in some respects, of kind of the underlings of what character we've kind of come to know of Cassian Andor and his kind of spy mentality. This is like the James Bond of Star Wars, if you will. So I think that's kind of an interesting aspect, but that's just me hoping for the stars.
I'm looking forward to seeing what the tone will be like, both of this one and for The Mandalorian, because I feel like it's going to have a bit harder of an edge, but I hope it keeps sort of a family-friendly vibe.
Corey, I'm going to disagree with you on this one, or just not go with your side, because I am really excited about this one. I loved Cassian Andor. I thought Diego Luna did a great job of portraying the character in this time frame. And the thing I'm looking forward to most about this is the time frame, the timing of this. You know, Birth of the Rebellion, and you know, I loved every bit of the Rebels. I loved every bit of Rogue One and the build up to A New Hope. So I've no doubt that this is just going to continue to fill that cup of connecting the two, the prequels to the main trilogy. And it's going to be hard to disappoint, I guess, for me in this case.
I agree. And I think people would love to see this, but I think story-wise, we can't see anybody from Rogue One except for maybe K2. Because otherwise, take from their first meeting and those powerful encounters,
right,
and the meaningful encounters of the pair of them, or not the pair, but all of them together in Rogue One. So I'm excited. I had a feeling you might be a little skeptical, because sometimes you are when you first hear big Star Wars news, but then it comes around, and you know, who knows? Who knows how you'll feel when you actually see these things?
Very true. I mean, that's the other thing too. You mentioned K2SO. I mean, I loved his character. My hope would be that Alan Tudyk would come back and play him as well. Be really cool. I think it'd be kind of like their first meeting of sorts, maybe, or just them kind of chopping it up and having scenes together. But yeah, I mean, I think if it's going to be, it's going to be, it's not going to be, up to me, but I guess
will you watch it?
Yeah, I'll definitely watch it. I'm a little disappointed in the fact that they're kind of, reusing a character in a sense. And I have other thoughts on other franchises who go back and kind of reuse a character just to, I don't want to call it fluff up the franchise, if you will.
And the story needs to be told. You know, I feel that way. The story better need to be told, and it better be strong and poignant and important, sure. Not just something just to give me some content. I don't want content. Right.
I think the biggest issue for me is like continuity is like, I know Rogue One ended a certain way. I know where it's going, and they're kind of like bits and pieces. We're taking little bite sizes here and there. And as these things are coming out, it's kind of hard to track where everything is kind of placed in the Star Wars timeline, right, of how this happened, or who's this guy? Wait, he was dead over here, and wait, about this? Oh, this was him before he did that thing, and oh, this is Mandalorian. It's way off over there, and it's kind of hard to like see all these things kind of pop up. And kind of serve as these little various points within Star Wars. It's difficult to keep those organized, I think. So I think it's one of my biggest takeaways.
Sure. Fair enough.
Well, definitely something to look forward to. Now, finally, I have one more announcement or one more news story from Star Wars Celebration 2019 in Chicago. This announcement brings the soul of Chicago to Celebration, as the legendary comedy institution Second City will bring its brand of entertainment to Celebration fans. Now, according to StarWarsCelebration.com, they will also host Star Wars-themed performances at their famed theater in Chicago's Old Town neighborhood. Now, for those of you who have never heard of Second City, they have supplied numerous Saturday Night Live actors and other famous comedians, including the likes of Dan Aykroyd, Steve Carell, Stephen Colbert, Tina Fey, Keegan-Michael Key, Bill Murray, Gilda Radner, Joan Rivers, Martin Short, and many others. Now, if you don't know the way to the theater, no worries. They will have public transportation to the theater via bus or maybe even a troop transport.
Oh, I think that's exciting. Yeah, Chicago is going to have so many great things going on for it around Celebration and in honor of Celebration. But Second City is iconic, and that's a blast. I mean, they're funny. They're talented. As Tom, as you just mentioned, they've brought some of the most amazing comedic talents and improvisational actors to this. And knowing that they're going to combine the Star Wars brand, this is going to be a recipe for what we can expect.
Yeah, I think since Chicago is kind of hosting Celebration next year, it's obviously a no-brainer to have the best places kind of bring in their talent, obviously. And you know, I've always thought of Second City as the younger brother of Saturday Night Live, obviously. And I've actually been to a live show there and seen them. It's a fantastic place to go see great comedy and great sketches, great actors and actresses doing their thing and performing. Cool. So I think it's a unique experience. I think if folks who have never been to Chicago can go and experience it if they're in town for Celebration. And of course, Chicago has a whole host of different things to do. We live very close and near and dear to our hearts, that city is. So be on the lookout for fun things.
I love it. I love it. All right. Well, let's go ahead and take another break, because we got to finish out our list of the top five things we love about The Force Awakens. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
This is Coffee with Kenobi.
MEI and Mouse Fan Travel is absolutely the way to go. This is the holiday season. It's also a travel time of year, a very hectic travel time of year. So you want to work with a company that can help you make life a lot easier. And MEI is the best because they have signature service and expert advice to help clients maximize their vacation time and dollar. And of course, they can get you anywhere, but their specialty is Walt Disney World, Disneyland, and the Disney Cruise Lines. They can help you plan every detail, and they share invaluable tips to make your family's trip so much more memorable. Check out www.milesfantravel.com today and let them know Coffee with Kenobi sent you. One Nation Coffee is the official brew of Coffee with Kenobi. I start my morning every day with One Nation because it is the absolute best. You can start your coffee subscription so you never miss out on the best coffee in the galaxy by going to www.onenationcoffee.com today. Plus, enter the code Kenobi10 to set up a coffee subscription and save 10% off your first order.
We're back, and it is time to finish off this list of the top five things we love about The Force Awakens. We are on our fifth one, and I know we've got some honorable mentions. Right now, I'm looking at my list, and I have five of them, but who knows how that will change when I hear these two gents give theirs. So, Corey, give us your last one.
Yeah, my last one is kind of something that's more personal, I guess, and maybe more outward-reaching. It's the new generation of fans that The Force Awakens brings to Star Wars realm. And it's so cool because I think this is the film that my kids are growing up with. Yes, they've seen, one through six, the previous films. They've seen Clone Wars and so it's leading up to this film. This is the one they know as they've seen, going to the theater and actually experiencing, like we mentioned early on, was having that experience. And I think it's so cool to have a new generation of fans grow up with The Force Awakens, and that's how they get into Star Wars, and that's how they are able to experience Star Wars for the first time. I think it's unique that way. It's starting a brand new generation of young folks or old folks, people who are just like, oh, I'll give this a shot. So I've waited this long. maybe I'll go see The Force Awakens, and they'll do something for me. But I think it's so cool to be able to kick off the franchise in a whole new way and bring a new film into light for all these new fans. And it's cool to see it. I think I'm a big believer in, don't bash other people who like, episode one or the Clone Wars or the book series or whatever Star Wars item it might be, because that's how they started with Star Wars. That's what they grew up with. That's what they found Star Wars to be their Star Wars. And this is somebody's Star Wars out there for them. And so I think it's really cool to see that that generation grow and become new into the Star Wars fold.
Yeah, like that's their thing. That's their gateway. That's their wheelhouse. Absolutely. For sure. That's a good way to end your list. Tom, what's your last one?
Yeah, I love that. I'm going to head back into the movie and talk about a very specific moment of the movie where Han Solo is describing to Rey and Finn, ooh, while they're flying on the Falcon, the explanation of the Jedi and the Force. And I call it an admission. It's like all these years, and we have lots of history of Han Solo behind us, clear back to Hokey religions and ancient weapons are no match for a good blaster at your side, kid.
There you go.
And he goes on, to give his belief on that. And here he is in the exact same space saying, it's true. All of it. It's all true, when he's telling it to them. And I feel like, Dan, earlier you talked about Harrison Ford and, being bought into and, reigniting the flame of Star Wars. When he says that to them, especially those lines, it's true. I feel like I see all of that history in him and this admission of, I now believe. I know Luke, and I know what I've seen, and I know what I've lived. And I don't know. I just, it gives me goosebumps every single time that, that I watch that part of the movie. And in that moment, I think back to everything I know about the Clone Wars and the Jedi Temple and Anakin and Obi-Wan and Yoda and Mace Windu and Order 66. And all of it is wrapped up in that moment. So that's one of my favorite moments of the entire movie.
That is the best moment I didn't think to put on there. Well, that would have been like in my top three. No, wow. That's so cool.
Love it.
That is really cool. My last one is the ending. It could have ended very, very beautifully the way that it did. And none of us have brought up the death of Han Solo, by the way, which is interesting.
Sure. Go ahead.
Yeah, sure. That must have been something that happened off camera, off the air. It would have been just fine. And then Rey and Chewbacca get on the Falcon and fly off. I would have been completely fine with that ending and felt extremely satisfied. But then we get sort of an epilogue. And of course, we get the famous walk up the steps and that gorgeous John Williams score. And she hands the lightsaber to Luke, the symbolic passing of the baton. And he pulls off the hood and reveals his cybernetic hand. And boom, we cut the credits and you realize, I'm not going to find out what happens for at least 2 years. And I realize for modern audiences, that's very tricky to have to wait that long. But, you know, us old school guys had to wait 3 years to see Han Solo get released from the carbonite. And I was so delighted with this because while I wanted to see what would happen and it killed me, I also loved it because that is a classic Star Wars. There's a lot of threads that are left untied or tied up, I guess. And you don't know what's going to happen for a while and you have to wait. And to me, that is storytelling gold. I've always admired JJ's bravery for ending that film in that way in this modern era where we get stuff at the push of a button.
That's well said. I like that. And you mentioned a couple of things that are on my mind as well. And then it's as we talk about this, it's fun to talk about because it's one I need to revisit. Tom, you said you mentioned you watched it before we talked tonight, but. It's cool to see some of these come back up and go, oh yeah, that was a cool moment. I forgot about that part. And you know, it shows me how much this film is loved and well-liked and much we have enjoyed it. For my honorable mentions, I did have Death of Han Solo and the ending with Luke as being kind of those up there with, cool to see or just like, you know, a cool moment. There's two more that we haven't mentioned yet for all mentions for me. One of them is the comedy. There's a lot of comedy in this. And yes, Star Wars has comedy. And I think this does a great job of some of these new actors bringing into the fold, like playing off each other. Obviously, Han Solo has some great lines. Poe Dameron has some great lines.
Yeah, you first, I talk first.
Yeah, that starts off with a bang like that almost. Some of the first lines in the film, but I think it's really cool to see that in the film and kind of hyped up. You know, Colin Finn the big deal and whatnot, and it's so funny. It's enjoyable. But the last honorable mention I had was Kylo Ren's lightsaber. That's is unique.
Oh, cool! That's a good call.
Yeah, because it's something that we, you know, as the trailer came out, it was kind of shown beforehand, and one of the battles that, you know, the way it's gonna work, and the way it kind of sounded, and it was something different we hadn't seen yet, and this is unique. Again, Star Wars is kind of still telling us that there's new things to come, and this was one of them for me. And I remember distinctly walking around Star Wars Celebration Anaheim and getting to see the costuming and the props section.
Yeah,
this is before the film.
That's
they
right.
had the prop of Kylo Ren's lightsaber, and it was up close and personal. It was really unique. I thought it was really cool looking. It really drove the character himself. He was kind of not altogether and kind of ragged and jagged and hurt and pain. A lot going on there, and I think that really spoke for his character a lot in his weapon choice.
Plus, that lightsaber doesn't hum; it growls.
Yeah,
like Kylo. Definitely.
Scary.
Cool. Yeah. Well, those are nice. Those are nice, man. This movie is just, I mean, I could gush about that. I mean, we could gush about a lot of them, and we have over the past few weeks, but this one's pretty special. Tom, you want to give your honorable mentions?
Sure. I've got two or three of them. And the comedy was one of the items that I was going to, that was on the top of my list as well. And speaking of comedy, there's some comedy in this honorable mention when Finn is breaking Poe out of the Star Destroyer. And the comedy is in the stay calm, I am calm. I'm talking to myself. That is so fantastic. But I loved their chemistry. I love that Poe, you know, representing the resistance, gives Finn, a stormtrooper, his identity. I thought that was a beautiful moment filled with action on top of it. Another just touching moment of the movie to me was when Han offers or beats around the bush of offering Rey a job with them on the Falcon. I just, oh my gosh, I saw so much opportunity and so much like fatherly love to Rey there. And I was like, ha, oh. And just, you know, Chewie and Han with Rey as a mate on the first, that just the possibility there was so cool. Mm-hmm. Then there was, I got two more. Kylo Ren, with his speech of the pull of the light while he speaks to Vader's burnt out mask that was just so great. And then I can't leave this one off the list. Poe Dameron flying his X-Wing on Takodana outside of Maz's castle. And when, you know, when Poe is like, Finn is like, that is an awesome pilot. Yes, indeed, Finn, you didn't miss anything. Poe is the best darn starfighter in the galaxy.
Yeah. Those are good.
Yeah, that's a stunner. That's a one stunner. That's one hell of a pilot. And yeah, good deal, man. Wow. So my honorable mentions, and there are things we haven't talked about yet, surprisingly.
Yeah.
First is the final duel between Rey and Kylo Ren. It's full of symbolism, the light and the dark, the crack in Starkiller Base in the ground as it separates from them, showing the chasm of difference in their belief system, which I think is really symbolic. I mentioned earlier at the top of the show, Rey getting that lightsaber and almost being like a King Arthur moment, the music that swells during that moment. Another one, the trailers, especially, Corey. When we first saw the trailer for The Force Awakens sitting next to Adam Bray at Celebration Anaheim, and that pulse pounding sensation we felt while we're running to the Celebration podcast ever
on the
broadcast at Celebration on the podcast.
That's right.
And you think, hey, what do you think about this? I'm like, yeah, I know. We got to find the show.
That was chaotic. I had forgotten about that. Yeah.
Oh, man, that was a great moment. I also put Kylo Ren, his voice, the lightsaber, his swagger and power. Adam Driver was magnificent in it. The intro, the first appearance of BB-8 rolling up on the sand of Jakku, Poe in the opening crawl, and his conversation with Laura Santeca, and his reverence for Carrie Fisher or Princess Leia. I would say she'll always be royalty to me, right? Yeah. And then I put Maz Kanata as a unique and powerful force of nature. I like this diminutive theme that we see where the smallest person can make the difference. Yoda, Maz, Bilbo, or Frodo Baggins. That theme goes on here, but she's got more swagger to her as well. And I like that she goes face to face with Han Solo and doesn't even skip a beat. And she's also kind of a surrogate mentor for Rey in that key moment. And then the last one I have is JJ and Lawrence Kasdan's influence on this film. They wrote it, JJ directed it. No one ingests life and voice into a character like Lawrence Kasdan does with Han Solo. And he did in all of the films that Han Solo appeared in, except for A New Hope. And that was a film that inspired him to want to be a part of the Star Wars universe and to be in film and to write The Empire Strikes Back. So their influence is heavy in this thing.
Yeah, that's a great. I think one thing also when you mentioned that list there, I thought of one more for me. It was BB-8. We haven't really talked about him too much. Him being just unique in himself, and the comedy there with him just not being able to voice anything. Kind of the R2 moments where he'd use his actions to represent what he wanted to say, and I think all around. I mean, this is a great film. I think. I'm glad you chose us to talk about it because I still enjoy. It's still atop my list, still top three for me. It's exciting to talk about. Just talking about it now makes me want to go watch it again. It's rewatchable in a sense that it's fun. It's enjoyable. And it'll get you excited for Star Wars all over again.
I've never said this on the air, and I feel like I'm going to be struck by Sith lightning or something for saying it out loud. But I think I put this film over Return of the Jedi. That's so hard for me to say. I still don't know if I'm comfortable saying it because the original trilogy is sacrosanct, but I really, really like this movie a lot. And I just think,
I think
it will hold up better over time where I don't,
yeah,
that I necessarily does in some instances.
Yeah. But I think you say that and you kind of, you know, are unsure of yourself, but I think that's okay to think that way in this moment. You're like going, yeah, this is a great film. I do like these moments. I do like this film. I do like these characters and such. And I do like it more than this other film. But if you were to go back and watch Return of the Jedi, would you be like, oh, hey, this is a really great film, you know?
Oh, I love it. Yeah.
And so I think it's hard to grasp the idea of like putting your Star Wars films in you know, your favorite order. Cause to me, it's always changing. It's ever, you know, whatever the time of day is, that's depending on what, you know, what's going on in your life, what moments are you feeling the most? And that can be, you know, ever shifting. So I think it's something that's we can struggle with, or we can kind of embrace.
Well, one thing we won't struggle with, but we will embrace, is the chemistry that the three of us have when we are on a microphone together. It's always a joy to share a cup of coffee. Well, I guess we're not sharing a cup of coffee. One coffee, three straws, please. But to have a cup of coffee with the two of you. And, gentlemen, this is a great time to tell everybody where they can find you if they don't already know. And I think we also need to do a little bit of a plug for our CWK pour-overs, too. So, Corey, tell everybody why they need to listen to CWK pour over for $5 or more a month.
Yeah. I mean, I mentioned this earlier at the top of the show, in the sense of this, like you said, we could continue talking. I think Dan's trying to wrap it up because he's being generous of our listeners' time, but we could talk for hours almost on anything. If you're always interested and curious, like, hey, these guys like Star Wars, but I wonder what they think about, you know, peanut butter jelly sandwiches. Who knows? That could be a topic on our pour over. And I think what's interesting about that is like, we are just guys hanging out, and doing our thing and talking about things we love, things we don't like, situations we've gotten ourselves into, old stories, bringing up old memories. It always jogs my memory too when we talk about just random stuff that comes up, or sometimes we talk about news that like, hey, what do you think about this character or this casting or something like that. So it's always something unique. It's off the cuff, really kind of, I don't think there's a whole lot of editing. So there's a lot of laughs. I think in there we come away with some really great shows, some fun memories. So if you have a chance or feel like you want to hear some more of us just rattle on about craziness, feel free to go out to our Patreon show. Link on our website, coffeewithkenobi.com. The link there is at the top of the page. And give. You get the shows. You get all the shows, I think, for just joining. And you can go back and listen. There's a pretty good catalog, I think. We've been doing for quite a while.
29 out there right now.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah, not so, too bad.
There you go.
That was good. You did that off the cuff, too.
Well said. Yeah, fantastic.
Tom, anything you want to add to that?
Corey really covered it, but I just, you know, just to have some good laughs, because that's what I feel like, you know, that's what I look forward to every time when we put together those shows, is I look forward to the laughs. I look forward to learning more about the two of you, and not just the two of you, but learning more about the things that we talk about, because the two of you know so much and you have such depth of knowledge on the topics that we talk about. And just like you said, it's getting to share our stories. And I always think that's such a great time. So that, you know, right there to me is why I would listen.
That's very, very gracious of you, man. I think and my wife, you know, she's not necessarily a huge Star Wars fan, but fortunately she's a huge Dan Z fan. But she's, when she lives, I play clips from Pour Over and she says, you three together are gold. And I appreciate her saying that. And she's a little biased, I grant you, but I think people would love listening to the show, and this really isn't a sponsored segment, although I guess I'm sort of sponsoring myself in this one, aren't I? I don't know, but either way, it's a blast, and we hope you will join us. But before you do that, you probably want to follow Tom and Corey and know where to get to them online. Guys, where can people find you?
Sure. Go online and check me out. I'm on Twitter, @CoreyClub. You can email me, CoreyC@CoffeeWithKenobi, on Facebook, Instagram, all over the place. All kinds of crazy stuff out there about me if you want to get in touch or just say hello.
Yeah, and I'm on Twitter as well at Draftline, DraftLine. Cycling librarian on Instagram, Tom G at coffeewithkenobi.com. And you can catch me right here every week on Coffee with Kenobi doing the news.
That's right, doing the news indeed. We will go ahead and take our last break. And when we come back, we will close out the show. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
Listening to Coffee with Kenobi, you are the podcast you're looking for. This is...
Before we get to email, I want to thank our CWK sponsor, One Nation Coffee, Harry's Razors, and Mouse Fan Travel. Please support them the way they support our podcast. And remember to listen to new and archive shows of Coffee with Kenobi wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Podcast Addict, Stitcher, Spreaker, Overcast, Blog Talk Radio, Player FM, or our website, www.coffeewithkenobi.com. And if you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Pinterest, and Tumblr, and we'd love for you to check us out there. Also, be sure to listen to our CWK family of shows, including Legends Library, Rebels Reactions, Comics with Kenobi, and Lattes with Leia. Please leave a review for each of their shows as well, and be sure to subscribe to each of them individually, as they all have their own feeds now. From Andrew Harrison. Hello, Dan. I wanted to reach out to let you know how much I've enjoyed your top five episodes on CWK recently. With all of the negativity that floats around in the fandom and the world at large, focusing on the things we love is a necessity. As Rose said, that's how we're going to win. Not fighting what we hate, but saving what we love. Anyway, one of your honorable mentions for Revenge of the Sith really hit home with me. You mentioned the feeling you had seeing it in the theater for the first time, and for me, that would be my number one thing that I love about this film. I have a very vivid memory of seeing this film in the theater for the first time. Actually, it's a memory from before the film even started. I was about 5 minutes before midnight, and I just felt this strong emotional wave rush over me. I took a moment and just looked around me. Sitting to my right was my fiance. We just got engaged about a month earlier at Star Wars Celebration 3. Then to my left, in the rows in the front and behind us, were about 20 of my closest friends that had all coordinated to see this movie together. And I had a thought. This is it. This is the last time I will ever experience this. This is the last Star Wars movie I'll ever see in the theater, and I'm surrounded by the woman I love and our best friends. That is what life in Star Wars is all about. Little did I know that it would definitely not be the last Star Wars movie I'd ever seen in the theater. But since 2005, my friends and I all got older and started families and drifted apart of it. And so, we haven't been able to coordinate that many of us to see the films on opening night. So for me, the thing that I love the most about Revenge of the Sith is the memory of sheer joy and love that I felt right before the lights went down and the goosebumps rose on my arms as I read a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, before I assumed to be the last time on a giant screen. Thank you for the positive conversations you bring to fandom, and keep on keeping on. Yours in the Force, Andrew. Well, Andrew, thank you so much, and thank you for your positive comments. We are happy to do our part to make Star Wars fandom the wonderful place that it can be, and that I think that it is. And Andrew, you are obviously doing that as well, so thank you for that. And I love this memory. This is pretty magical. Very similar for me, looking around, just feeling kind of a sense of joy and completion that this was the end, and wanting it to be satisfactory, and boy, did it ever exceed all those expectations. An excellent memory, to be sure. So thank you so much for sharing that. I am glad I had that impact on you, and you're welcome to have a cup of coffee with us anytime. And CWK listeners out there, be sure to send us an email anytime you'd like your thoughts read or shared on the air. We are happy to do that for you. You are all part of the CWK family, and we really appreciate you. A big thank you to Corey Club and Tom Groves for joining us today, for sharing the news and their thoughts on the top five things we love about The Force Awakens. In addition to the places I just mentioned for Coffee with Kenobi, you can find me monthly on the podcast, Looking at Lucasfilm. I did it again. I even changed it in the show notes. It's like a habit. It's twice a month on the podcast, Looking at Lucasfilm, part of the Jim Hill Media Podcast Network, as well as on Twitter at Mr. Zehr, M-R-Z-E-H-R. And you can find my writings on CWK's website, as well as StarWars.com and IGN. Thanks again for joining us, and don't forget to check out www.patreon.com/coffeewithkenobi to help support the show, as well as get access to podcasts not heard anywhere else. There are also t-shirts, coffee mugs, and much more. This is coming out on Friday, November 16th, so I want to be sure to wish everybody a very safe, happy, and healthy Thanksgiving. Have a great time with your friends and your family. Go to the movies, watch some TV with your family, watch some football, eat some great food, and just remember to be thankful for all these wonderful memories and things that we have in this wonderful galaxy of ours. Thank you so much again, everybody, and I will see you next time. This is the podcast you're looking for.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars-related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi unless otherwise indicated.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
There's no one here. Move along.